Good morning, everybody.
Oh, no. Let's just say it in here. I don't know what to talk to anyone. We're still in chapter 17. I think that I'm not even ready to promise that we're going to make it out of chapter 17 today, but we're going to try. Perek 17. Pasuk 31. David has arrived at the camp. I think it's important to know that it is now the 40th day. For 40 days, Goliath HaPlishti has been coming out into the wide open area in between the camp of Israel and the camp of the Philistines, and he has blasphemed the name of God. He has challenged the Jewish people that they should choose a man who will come out and wage war with him and do battle. And nobody has answered his call. I think that it's extremely important for us to imagine the scene. For 40 days, there is the hope that maybe somebody will come forward, but now it's the 40th day. Time is running out very rapidly. And no one has come forth to challenge the challenger, to stand up to the challenger. For whatever reason it is, Shaul is unable to do it. Maybe Shaul has been waiting all of this time in the hope that the second in command, the second greatest hero of the Jewish people, who is his own son Yonatan, will rise to the challenge. But no, there's no one. It's the last day, and time is moving very quickly. There has to be a breakthrough, and he doesn't know where it's going to be. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to Shaul, David is going through the camp, speaking from person to person, asking him, what are we going to do? What is it that the king has said? What kind of promises has he made? Who is this Philistine, this uncircumcised one? Why are you afraid of him? And he keeps going from one person to the next. Finally, Pasuk 31, by Yisharu Advarim, and the words were heard. Asher Diber David, the words of David were already heard. It started going through the camp. Vayagidu lifnei Shaul, vayikocheu. And they told Shaul, it was said before Shaul, vayikocheu, and they took him. Interesting, vayagidu, and they said. Who said? Who said? Doesn't say who said. Vayikocheu, and they took him. Who took him? Doesn't say who took him. In Chumash we have a number of places where it says that somebody was told something, and Rashi says, who is the one who said? And Yaakov was told that the Yosef is alive. Rashi asks, who told him? Rashi brings the opinion that it was Sarah Bat Asher who was the one who told him. They told Yosef that his father is not well. Who told him? Menashe or Ephraim? What do you mean they told? And Vayikochehu, and they took him. Also a strange term, Vayikochehu, and they took him. What's strange about this, and in my Chumash Yerim on a number of occasions I've talked about it, Rashi makes it clear a number of places in Torah where it says that somebody took somebody else. For example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Kach et Aaron, take Aaron and his children, and appoint them as the ones who will serve in the Mishkan. Kach et HaLeviim, take the Leviim, and let them become the ones who will serve God. Or, Kach et Yehoshua, God says to Moshe, take Yehoshua. Even where it says by Yikach Korach, and Korach took. So Rashi always says, Kochehu, take, bidvarim, with words. Kach et Aaron, take Aaron, tell Aaron, Ashrecha, how fortunate you are that you have been chosen to be the one to serve God. Tell the Leviim how fortunate and happy they are. tell Yehoshua what a great schut it is to be the leader of the Jewish people. And even Korach, when it says that Korach took, so Rashi and the Medrash describe in great detail the words that Korach used in order to take the 250 who joined him in the struggle against Moshe. Why is Rashi always careful to point this out? The reason really is simple. And the Maharal explains this. You can take objects, you don't take human beings. What do you mean? Kacheta. At Yehoshua, take Yehoshua. Take Aaron. What do you mean take? What do you mean take? You can take an object, but you can't take a subject, you can't take a human being who has intelligence, who has a mind, who has a will, who's a rational being. So, the Maharal says, therefore, that since human beings are not those that are taken, you can't take them against their own volition, so therefore, wherever it says to take means you take them with words. You don't just take them. You influence. You talk to them. I believe the same thing was probably as true as when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha Me'ladecha, it says that he took his wife Sarai. What do you mean he took her? He didn't coerce her. Certainly there he could not have coerced her because there was no mitzvah at the time yet of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah was to Avraham to go to Eretz Canaan. So who is this Vayikachehu? Who is the one that takes him? And more than that, maybe another question. Why doesn't David merely present himself before Shaul? Why does he have to be taken? It's quite clear that David has been going through the camp with a mission. We have to do something. Who is this Plishti? Why can't we go out and fight him? It's quite clear that David is the one who is ready to do the job. So why doesn't he simply present himself before Shaul and say, I volunteer, I'm going out. Why does he have to be taken? What do you think? In other words, maybe he's let's put it another way. Shaul had sent David back to Bethlehem. David had been in the presence of Shaul and was playing the harp for him. Earlier it said that he sent him back home. Does Shaul know why he sent him back home? I don't know. Shaul may very well not want David to be here, and David may very well know that Shaul doesn't want him here, because Shaul knows that David is not only Yodea Magen, the one who knows how to play. Not only is he one that knows how to play the harp, but he is also Ish Milchama, man of war, Vashem Imo, and God is with him. This is what we heard in the last parak. It's possible that Shaul does not want David here because he's afraid precisely of that David is going to go out and he is going to be the one to bring down the Plishtim. He has already begun to have these ambivalent feelings with regard to David. On the one hand, he loves David, and on the other hand, he's frightened of David. He had sent him home, so David doesn't want to appear before Shaul now. It may very well be also that maybe David is not yet certain that he is the one for the mission. What most probably is taking place within David is a growing God awareness. He's beginning to feel stronger and more courageous from moment to moment. He may not yet have reached the point where he's indeed ready to take that step. Who takes him? Who takes him? I'll tell you who takes him. A pasuk in Tehillim, a few pasukim. At the end of chapter 78 in Tehillim, it says, "Vayivchar b'David avdo HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose his servant David, vayikochehu mimichlaot tzon, and he took him from the corrals of the sheep." Me'achar Olot, he took him from behind the pregnant sheep. Hevi'o, he brought him, Lir'ot B'Yakov Amot, to be the shepherd of his people, Yaakov. Ubi Yisrael Nachalato, and God's inheritance, Yisrael. Vayir'eim, and he was their shepherd. He took care of them. He watched over them. Ketom Levavo, with the fullness of his heart. Ubitvunot Kapav Yanchen, and with intelligence he led them. At the end of Sefer Shmuel, in the Shira that David sings, David himself says, Yishlach mi marom, he sent from heaven, Vayikacheni, and he took me. In a sense, David is saying, both in Tilim and here, who took him? The Vayikacheni was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's taking him.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's taking him.
All right, let's go further. So the Vayikachehu, where the pasuk doesn't say who took him, we're talking about a giant step that is being taken in this last word, Vayikachehu, the end of this pasuk. It is God beginning to act now in an active way in history. This is the moment that's going to make the difference. David is now moving from David the private person, and he's taking one giant step toward becoming David, who is going to be the leader of the Jewish people. And there's something also fascinating. Something's taking place between this pasuk and the next pasuk. The next pasuk starts in a strange way. Vayomed David el Shaul. David said to Shaul. Highly unusual. If David is brought before Shaul, who is the one that's supposed to speak first? It's Shaul who's supposed to speak first. The commoner who's brought forth before the king, it's the king who speaks first. What I imagine is that Shaul himself is most probably surprised. Let's say surprised. He's heard about what's going on in the camp, but wait a minute. He has sent David away. What's David doing here now? And as we said, he may have sent David away because he doesn't want David there. He is frightened that David may indeed be the one that will ultimately accomplish the task. In a sense, Shaul is silent, so David takes the initiative. David El Shaul, David said to Shaul, Al Yipo Lev Adam Alav. Do you hear what David is saying? David, in a sense, is giving Musar, he's giving encouragement. He is speaking like the Kohen Gadol who went out before the forces of Israel to tell them not to be frightened, let no one's heart fall. Avdecho yelech v'nilchamim aplishti hazeh. Your servant is going to go and he's going to wage war with this plishti. Here it is, he has said it. He has crossed a major divide at this point. He finally himself has the courage to do it. Vayomer Shaul al David. Shaul said to David, "Tuchal alechet al aplishti." I said, "You can't go to this plishti. Lachem imo. You can't go wage war with him. Kinar ata. You're a young boy. Vahu ish milchama minu urav, and he is a man of war from his youth." Interesting that Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel over here says on naar ata. The word naar, the kinar ata, is a difficult thing. Naar means a young boy. David is at least 28 years of age at the time. And yet the Targums, Yonatan says even more, are yanik at. Yanik is a little nursing boy. Not even a young boy or a lad. A nursing baby. And the fact is that wherever else the word nar appears in Tanakh, Targum Yonatan translates it as rabbi. Rabbi means a young boy. Is it because in the rush of emotions, and we are going to find throughout, that the relationship between Shaul and David, or at least from Shaul's point of view, there are moments at which he is going to be overcome with a sense of love and affection for David, and then there are moments that he's going to be frightened and petrified before him, and he's going to be overcome with hatred, an absolute hatred, for he wants to destroy him. The two faces of Shaul are going to be reflected in the way he deals with David. The Targum over here seems to feel that Shaul is overcome with a sense of caring. He's his little Yingala. He's the little bicycle whom he loves. In a sense, it's like the love that one has for a nursing little child. And then on the other hand, this man is Ish Milchama. He's a man of war from his very youth. But we already know that there is somebody else who's an Ish Milchama. The other one who's the Ish Milchama in Gibor Chayil is David. Who else is Ish Milchama? Who ultimately? Hashem Ish Milchama. Hashem Ish Milchama. God is the Ish Milchama. Shaul is describing Goliath as the Ish Milchama, but there are two other Ish Milchamas. One is David is described that way, and the other is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So let's see what happens now. David said to Shaul, Roeh Hayar Avdecha La'aviv Tatzon. The famous story. And we're going to have to analyze the story. David says, your servant was a shepherd for his father with the sheep. Ubo ha'ari ve'et hadov, the lion came and the bear, v'nosos seh me'ha'edah, and carried off one of the sheep from the corral. V'yatzati acharav, and I went out after him. V'hikitiv, and I smote him. V'hitzalti mipiv, and I saved the sheep from his mouth. V'yokam alai, and the lion or the bear, he rose up against me. V'hechezakti v'zikano, and I grabbed onto his beard. V'hikitiv, I smote him. V'hamitiv, and I killed him. Gametari, gametadov, he carved echa. Your servant killed not only the lion, but also the bear. Let this uncircumcised plishti be like one of them. Ki choreif marachot elokim chayim. Because he has shamed and embarrassed the forces of a living God. Vayomer David, and David said, Hashem God asher hitzilani miyad ha'ari miyad ha'tov. God who saved me from the hand of the lion and from the hand of the bear, he will save me from the hand of this plishti. Yomer Shaul el David, Shaul said to David, Leich, go, Hashem yeh imach, and God should be with you. Well, is this a simple story? I don't know how simple this story is. How simple do you think this story is? Are there problems over here? First of all, why indeed does he go out after the lion? We all know the story. Why does he go out after the lion? The lion took a chef, so let him go. What are you going to go start out with a lion? How does a boy go out to wage war against a lion? Now, if we look at it carefully, did he really want to fight the lion? Was that his intent? In Pasuk 35 it says, V'yatzati acharav, I went after him, V'hikitiv, V'hichalti mipiv. His first, what is his real intention? His intention is to save the sheep. And once he saves the sheep, he's ready to go back. He's not ready to do battle with the lion. Tafayatam alai, the lion rose up against me, so then I had no choice. Hechazakti bizakana, I held on to his beard, I smote him, and I killed him. Let's ask something else. I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I've never come up against lions. The last lion I saw was in the old Yerushalayim Zoo, and I think a lion like that I would have started out with too. They looked like they were half dead. I don't know. And maybe the lion would have sulked away, but certainly he. But you see, look at the way the Pasuk describes it. The Pasuk describes it as as two parts. Part number one, to save the Shefzalah. Part number two is the struggle with the lion. He didn't go out originally to struggle with the lion. He went out on a mission to save his Shefzalah. It's only when he is forced into the position of fighting with the lion does he fight with it. Let me ask you another question. Doesn't this seem to be... doesn't this story seem to be sort of bragging on the part of David? What are you talking about? This Plishti, piece of cake. According to the Medrash, it says, I smote Gam et Hadov in Pasuk 36, Gam et Hari, Gam Hadov Hika. Gam and Et tell us that there were another two lions with the lion. Gam Hadov, there was another bear with the bear. No, before we know it, it ends up, it wasn't one lion, it was a whole bunch of lions. Not one bear, a whole bunch of bears. Doesn't it seem as though he is, there's something bragging about this? No?
Because he says that God helped him.
All right.
He has to convince Saul that he can do it, so he has to do a little bit of bragging.
It's not an everyday activity for anybody. I don't know whether it was the normal course of his work. I have a feeling that as David is telling this story to Shaul, he is saying it with amazement in his own eyes. How did that happen? He still doesn't understand it. He didn't understand it then, except that now, you know, to him the whole thing was so weird, so unusual, so unnatural. He didn't see this as being him. He can't for the life of him figure out what happened. But now all of a sudden, it may very well be that that was a simon, min hashamayim, that he's the one to go out and fight with this Plishti. Not him, as you say, it's not him. But now he's beginning to understand an event that had taken place in the past. He didn't understand it then. He didn't walk around afterwards thinking that he is the great muscle man. Something overcame him at the time. And all of a sudden, he's beginning to feel that same sense of strength beginning to overcome him now. There's an association. Don't we often... You know, when we hear a certain old-time song, Niggin, Niggin. So we remember the sights, the sounds, and the smells of that particular moment in time, the mood that we have. Don't different songs evoke... How did you know that was the word I was looking for? She always knows the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Don't words or sounds evoke certain feelings? He's talking, he's telling over the story of the Ahi and the Dove. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised he's never said over the story before. It's the first time. And it's beginning to evoke the same feelings that he had then, he has now. So to David, this is an indication, yes, Eureka, now he understands. What was the purpose of that whole experience? He didn't see that as being him. He was a shepherd. He was a little bicycle. Now he understands why it happened. That was the sinim in Hashemayim. He has the same feelings now. He hasn't had them in years. And now he knows that he's the one who's to go out and wage war with the Plishti. The Mechilta. The fact is, what I'm saying is expressed in a Mechilta. The Mechilta, the Medrash, on Parshat B'Shalach says that David was may arboa tzaddikim, one of the four tzaddikim, sheniteng lehem remez, that a simon, an indication, is given to him, v'chosh, and he feels it. Shenema, the Medrash in B'Shalach says, gamet wari, v'gamet hadov, hika avdecha, your servant killed the lion and the bear. Omar David. V'chimani. Listen to how the Medrash describes how David feels, what he thinks to himself, and it's clear that that's where we have to learn the pasuk. David said, V'chimani, what am I? Sofun, a mighty one, Shehiketi Chayot Ra'ot Halalu, that I killed these evil beasts? He doesn't understand what happened to himself. Ella, David said, Shema Davar Godol, Atid Le Arali Yisrael. Maybe something big is going to happen to Israel. Vehem Atidim Lehinatzel Ayadi, and they are going to be saved through me. He had that feeling at the moment that he killed the Ari and the Dove. He looks at himself, he says, this is not me. What happened over here? Unless maybe, he says, maybe this is an indication to me that there will be a moment later on in my life when I will be the one to save Klal Yisrael. What I'm saying is the chosh that the Medrash talks about, that he felt something. He felt something at the time that he killed the Ari and the Dove. And now, at this moment, as he stands before Shaul, the same feeling overcomes him. Feeling equals feeling. The association. All of a sudden, he knows that this is what he's supposed to do. In this story of David, there are two parts to the story. And I believe I was trying to do that by separating the pasuk of the story in two. The first part of the story is that he goes out to save a shepherd, right? He's going out to save the sheep. He doesn't go out with the intent to kill a lion or a bear. It doesn't occur to him that he's capable of doing it. It doesn't occur to him that he's capable of doing it, even after he does it. But the pasuk, two parts in the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is David who goes out to save the sheep. The second part of the pasuk is the David who destroys the Ari and the Dove. This pasuk will in fact describe the two sides to David. There are two parts to David's personality. David, on the one hand, is the great shepherd. The great shepherd is the one who is the leader of his people. But he is also going to be, he is, the king of the house of David. And what was it that both Yaakov and Moshe said about Yehuda? Yehuda, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. He is the lion, he is the mighty one, he is the strong one. There are two faces to David. One face of David, one dimension of David, is the warm, the compassionate, the concerned shepherd who is going to become the shepherd of his people. And then there is another dimension to the personality of David, and that dimension is the strong, the mighty, and the powerful one, the lion. Isn't that what he's saying to Shaul? Roeh, hayah av dechol aviv batzo. Pasuk 34. I was a shepherd. I was a shepherd. That's what I really was all along. I don't know why it's been happening now for about 6-7 weeks or so that whatever we learn in Tanakh is, of course, directly related to something in Parshat HaShavua. The Medrash, on many occasions, makes the comparison between who and whom and whom. Was that right? Who and whom? Whom and whom? Between Moshe and David. What does it say? I should have asked you the question. What did it say over here? David said to Shaul, Roeh hayah avdecha, your servant was a roeh, a shepherd. All right. What does it say about Moshe before he comes to the snare? Well, Moshe hayah roeh. Moshe was the shepherd of Tzon Yitro Chotno, his father-in-law, Kohen Midian. The Medrash says, "Call me whoever about whomever it says hayah. He was. It means mitukan lakach. He was prepared for this. He was." Moshe was a shepherd, which means not only he was, but as he was a shepherd, he was being prepared to be the shepherd of Israel. Moshe hayam mitukan l'geula. Moshe was the one who was prepared for redemption. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, "Kol mi shenamar bo hayah, anybody about whom it says hayah zon ufirnes, he fed and he sustained the Jewish people. Rabbanan Amri, our rabbi said about the word Haya, Kol mi shenam abo Haya, about whomever it says Haya, Ra'a Olam Chadash, he was the one who was capable of seeing a new world, the dawn of a new era. Therefore it says, Umoshe Haya Ro'eh, Moshe was. Does Torah only want to tell me what one was? Or does the Torah, by telling me what one was, wants to tell me what one is being prepared for and what one will be? Moshe, therefore, in the process of being a shepherd, he prepares himself for redemption, to be God's messenger for redemption. He prepares himself to be the one who is going to feed and sustain, provide for, take care of the Jewish people, and he is the one who is going to see a new world. I'm going to read another medrash. The medrash says the following. Kol imrat elokat selufa, pasuk in Mishlei. The words, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that the words of God are clear. But the Medrash learns the word imrat from the word he'emarta, greatness. Kol imrat eloka selufa. Those who receive greatness from God, imrat eloka, those who receive greatness from God, selufa, have been purged and cleansed. They've gone through a process. They have been tested. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu notein gedula la'adam. God does not give greatness to a man. Ad shed bot kehu, until he tests him, b'davar katan, with something small. And achar kach, afterwards, ma'alehu l'gedula, God makes him great. Harei l'cha, the Medrash says, shnei gedola yolam, you have two of the giants of the world. Shed bod kan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'davar katan, God tested them with something small. V'nimtzu ne'manim, they were found to be trustworthy. Helam l'gedula, therefore he raised them to greatness. Bodak le David batzon, he tested David through the sheep. Velo nohagam ela bamidbar, and where did he take them? It said earlier, what did Eliyav tell when Eliyav gets upset with David? So he says to Saul, to David, I know you. Al mino tashta et mi'at hatzon. In Pasuk 28, Vayishma Eliyav Achiv Agadol, Eliyav, the older brother, heard V'davroel Anashim, when he spoke to the people, Vayichar Af Eliyav B'David, Eliyav got angry with David, and he said, Lama Zayaradito, what did you come down here for? Valmina Tashta Ma'at Hatzon Hohena Bamidbar, and upon whom did you cast, thrust those sheep out in the desert? And he attacked the donkh, I know your evil, that the badness of your heart, you came down here because you wanted to see. You wanted to see the war. Nobody ever tells us how Eliyahu felt when he saw David smite the Goliath. So the Medrash says, the Medrash brings this pasuk, and the pasuk says, Lo nagam ela bamidbar, where did he take them? Taking them out into the desert. There are a number, the Medrash in different places is going to tell us the significance. Out in the desert. Incidentally, the same thing is going to be true with Moshe. What does it say in that first pasuk of Moshe Hayoro Etzon Yitro? When I walked in and I heard the very end of Aviva's shir, I said, "Oh God, that medrash is precisely what I'm going to talk about." And we're going to see another approach to the medrash that she said about the desert being rolled away and out comes civilization. What does it say by David? It says that he took the sheep out into the desert. And Moshe, it says, he took them out after the desert, and then he came to the mountain of God in Chorev. Says the Medrash, what was so significant about having them out in the desert? So the Medrash says, l'harchikam en hagezel, to keep them away from theft. He didn't want them grazing in a built-up area, because then they would graze from fields that belong to people. Melamed shahaya David mekayim ha-mishnah. The Medrash says from this we learn that David fulfilled the Mishnah. There is a halacha that says, ein megadlin behema daka be'eretz Yisrael. You're not permitted to raise behema daka, little behemalach, shepsalach, in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara says, why? In other words, in the built-up areas of Eretz Yisrael, or where where people have planted their fields because they can destroy what is planted in the fields. So he took them out to a place where nobody was there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Nimsa atonem ha-metzon, I find you trustworthy with the sheep. Bo ure'ei tzoni, come and be the shepherd of my sheep. Shenema, as it says, the pasuk that we learned, that I read to you before, at the end of chapter 78 in Tehillim, Vayivchar beDavid, after God chose David, and he took him mimichla'ot, so he took him from the corrals of the sheep. I tested you with the sheep, and I found you to be trustworthy, and therefore I want you to be the shepherd of my people. The Medrash concludes by saying that the same thing is true of Moshe. By Yin Haget Hatzon Achar Hamidbar Lahutzion Min Hagezel, he took them there so that they should not steal. The Lakha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore God took him in order to be the shepherd of Israel. Shenema, as it says, and this is also a pasuk in Tehillim that talks about Moshe. Nachita Katzon Amcha Biyad Moshe V'Aaron. In the chapter before, chapter 77 in Tehillim, it says, Nachita, God, you led your people like sheep, Biyad Moshe V'Aaron, through Moshe and Aaron. The Ramban. The Ramban, I want to read something from the Ramban on this Medrash, the Medrash that we talked about. Vayin haget hatzon achar hamidbar, he led the sheep out after the desert. So the Medrash learns that it's like somebody who goes after his friend. Klomar, the Medrash says, hamidbar boreach, I think that's what she quoted at the end, hamidbar boreach, the desert flees, the Naaseh Yishuv, and it becomes an inhabited area. Ad Shebon, till Moshe comes El Har Elokim, to the mountain of God in Chared, says the Ramban the following. The word Midbar here does not necessarily mean only desert. Midbar also means, from the word to lead, Yadber Amin Tachtenu, God leads other nations under us. There's also a Rashi that says Dabor Echod La'am Ve'ein Shnei Daborim La'am. There is one leader for a people, and there are no two leaders. Says the Ramban, he took them Achar Hamidbar. He led them. Midbar meaning that he led the sheep. Led the sheep meaning that he provided for them. He sustained them. He cared for them. Kloma, says the Ramban, mitoch hamir'e natan libo b'inyan ha-parnasa, as a result of being the one who causes them to graze, he was concerned. He was concerned that they should be sustained. And then he began, so the Ramban describes that there's a process that began. The process that began in the mind of Moshe was, how is everybody sustained? Who takes care of a whole world? Who is the one that makes certain that everybody is provided for with all of their needs? Or at least certainly in the world, all the needs of all people can be provided for and they can be sustained. So what's Moshe thinking about as he takes care of his shepherd? That there's some great shepherd in the skies who's taking care of everybody. Which means as he takes care of his sheep, he is becoming closer and closer to God Himself. And therefore, the pasuk says, Vayinhaget Hatzon Achar Hamidbar, from the sheep. What comes next? That led him El Har HaElokim Choreva, that led him to the mountain of God. From the sheep, he was able to come to God. Because as he ponders and meditates more about God, so God opened for him the gates of wisdom, and he kept. So the Ramban is learning that the metaphor of the desert moving away and the inhabited land, the Yishuv, takes over. The Midbar represents the spiritual wasteland, the intellectual wasteland, the more that Moshe and so too David are out with the sheep. The desert, the wasteland of ideas and emotions and feelings recedes. And what takes its place? Wisdom and the knowledge of God. The Medrash tells us a third idea that's expressed by David having been a shepherd, and the same thing is true of Moshe. The two ideas that have been expressed so far, idea number one is how careful he was that they should not steal, destroy, devastate Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Number two, as he is out there, he's not merely the shepherd of sheep, but he's already pondering on the idea of a God who sustains not only them but all of mankind. Third Medrash, where the Medrash says the following: Badak leDavid betzon, God is the one who tests David through the sheep. Rabbi Yoshua haKohen b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak said the following: God took him mimichla otzon. That was the pasuk in Tehillim. He chose David and he took him from the michlaot, the place where the sheep are really held in pen, restrained, corralled. Okay. Says the Medrash, David would pen or corral the sheep one from another. Motzi hagedoyim, he would take out the baby shepsalach. No, he divided them into three. There were the baby shepsalach, there were the adult shepsalach, or the young adult shepsalach, the teenage shepsalach, and then there were the adult shepsalach. Now, the grass that grows, there are three parts. There's the soft part at the top, then there's a part below that is tougher, and then there's the roots of the ground that are even tougher than the other two. So he said he took out the little shepsalach that weren't able to chew and digest that well. He took out the little ones and they ate the top leaves. Then he would take out the teenage shepsalach, and they were the ones who would eat the center. And then he would take out the big papa and mama shepsalach, and they were the ones who would eat the roots from the ground. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said the Rebbein Shalom, Mi shehu yodea lirot et hatzon ish lefi kochol, the one who knows how to graze the sheep, each one according to their own abilities, yavo v'yir etzoni, he is the one who should come and be the shepherd of my shepsalach. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in another place the Medrash says, Yesh lecha rachamim linhog tzono shel basa v'dam kach. You have the intelligence to take care of the sheep this way. Come and take care of my sheep. And then there's the famous Medrash, the story of Moshe. Af Moshe lo bachan al kodesh baruch hu. Moshe too was tested by God by the sheep. Amru Rabbeinu, our rabbi said, when Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd for Yisro in the Midbar, a goat ran away. Rotz Acharov, he ran after the goat until they came to something like a cliff or a break in the rocks. Kivan Shigia, when the goat arrived there, Nizdanalo Brecha Shomayim, there was a little pool of water. V'omad HaGedi Lishtot, and the Gedi started drinking. Moshe Etzel, when Moshe came to him, he finds the Gedi that ran away drinking. Amar, he said, Ani lo ayiti yodea, I didn't know Sherotz hayita mipnei tzame, I didn't know that you were running away because you are thirsty. Oyefato, you're exhausted. Hirkivo al ktefo, he took the goat on his shoulder and he brought him back to the sheep. But the Rambam says, if this is the way you know how to take care of the sheep, you are the one who will take care of my sheep. So the Medrash that we've quoted have shown us, number one, that he keeps them away from Gezel, they shouldn't steal. He knows how, he learns through being a shepherd, he learns about the great shepherd of them all. He rises in his consciousness and his knowledge. Third, of course, is the fact that he knows how to treat them individually. You can't have one rule for everybody. You can't deal with people in the same way. One has to be aware of the weaknesses and the strengths of each individual, and that's precisely what David and Moshe are aware of. So therefore, of course, the Ramban in another place says, "Kivan shenitaseik Moshe bechokhma hazot." Since Moshe out there in the desert was involved in the wisdom of the knowledge of God, yom achar yom, day after day, shana achar shana, year after year, haya hamidbar boreach v'naaseh yishuv. The desert fled. The spiritual wasteland, the emptiness of a world without God, became yishuv, that which is settled. So now we know why he is chosen. We know why Moshe and why David are chosen. And what do we see in Moshe and David at this point? We're talking about only one part of David's personality. Remember, we said that there are two parts, and the two parts appear here in the story. There's the part of his compassion, his love, his understanding, his wisdom. There's going to be another side to David, and that other side to David is going to be the one that will be expressed by his ability to get up and destroy the lion. You have to be tough. Also, the king of Israel cannot only be compassionate, he also has to be courageous. He has to be compassionate toward his people, and he has to be courageous and daring in dealing with the enemies of his people. Pause on. That's precisely what we started to say, as Sarah tells us. What was the first description of David? He is Admoni in Yefei Einayim. He's a Reuter. There was something cruel and evil about David, but it was with beautiful eyes. He had extreme daring and courage, but the Gemara says that the daring and courage, he used it through the eyes of Torah. Only through the eyes of Torah did he see it. In other words, he is described as Admoni, like who else is described, as we pointed out, Esau is pointed out that way. And then Yefei Einayim represents the beauty of a... There are a lot of other Midrashim that talk about the idea of David being a shepherd, but really it is more fully expressed by the Sukkim in Yecheskel. Yecheskel, chapter 34 in Yecheskel. I'm just going to read a few Sukkim. Chapter 34 in Yecheskel is the turning point. Turning point in what sense? Most of the Sefer up until that point talks about the suffering and the punishment and the evil that will befall the Jewish people throughout all of history. And in chapter 34, that's the chapter that is the introduction to the chapters of Geula and redemption. That's the 35, 36 through 40. 40 to the end of the Sefer is the ultimate, because 40 until the end of Yechezkel describes the third Bet HaMikdash, the precise plan. Because if Geula is going to come between chapters 35 and 40, so then of course there will be the Beis HaMikdash. Chapter 34 in Yechezkel is really a shepherd's chapter, the chapter of shepherds. The whole chapter is talking, is God talking to the shepherds, and he is unhappy with the way they have been taking care of his people. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at one point says, "Ko Amar Hashem Elokim." I'm just going to read a number of psukim, so you'll see how important and how powerful the metaphor of shepherd and sheep is. Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, so says God, Pasuk 11 in chapter 34 in Yechezkel. Hinini ani, here I am, v'dorashti etzoni uvikartim. I am going to seek out my sheep and I am going to take care of them. Kivakorat ro'e edro. What does that bring to mind? What association? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, at the end of Nisan Tokev, Kivakorat ro'e edro. There it goes on to say, Mavir tzono tachat shifto. There is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great shepherd of all. As the Roeh takes care of his sheep, Biyom Heyoto B'toch Tzono, when he is amongst his sheep, Nifrato, Kain Avaker Tzoni, God says, I am going to take care of my sheep, be salty at him, and I'm going to save them, Mikol Hanakamot Asher Nafosu Shom, from all of the places where they have been dispersed there, Biyom Onon Varofel, on the day of cloud and mist. In other words, the mist is going to be dissipated, and I'm going to bring them back, and I will take them out from amongst the nations, and I will gather them together from the lands, and I will bring them to their land, and they will graze upon the mountains of Israel. The Afikim are the wadis of the Negev, ubechol moshevei haaretz, and in all of the inhabited places of the land. B'mireh tov ereh otam, I am going to have them graze in good grazing land. Ubeharei merom Yisrael yeneveim, and in the very mountains over the heights of Israel shall be their dwelling place. Shom tirvatzna, there will they will lie down. B'noveh tov, in good dwelling places. They're going to have fat places of grazing on the mountains of Israel. I'm going to be their shepherd, and I will make them to lie down on the mountains of Israel. And so I'm reading these psukim not only to describe to you a relationship of God the shepherd with his people, but I get tremendous encouragement from these psukim. An imam in Bemuna Shlaim, as a result of these psukim, a Rebbeinu Shlom who has brought us here, did not bring us here, God forbid, that we should give away portions of Eretz Yisrael. The psukim here clearly are saying that when there is a kibbutz Goliath, I'm the one who does it. Who do you think gathered in the exile, the greatest ingathering of the exiles since the times of Yahushua bin Nun? There has never been a greater movement of Jews to Eretz Yisrael as in our day. So what? We came over here to create a Palestinian state. I don't believe it. Yechezkel, I look through Yechezkel. No, nothing of the sort. On the contrary, God is going to make sure that we lie down here. Et ha'ovedet avakesh, I am going to seek the sheep that are lost. Ve'et hanidachat, and the one that has been cast out, oshiv, I will bring back. Vilanish beret, and the one whose limb is broken, echvosh, I am the one who will heal it. Et hachole achazeh, the one that is ill, I will strengthen. Ve'atein otzoni, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are my sheep. Ko'am ha'ashal ken. So says God, Hinini shall faith, I'm going to judge between sheep and sheep. Isn't that what the Medrash said about David? That he knew how to navigate between sheep and sheep. Just another few psukim, and that will be enough. All right. Then he says, "V'lo yiyu od baz lagoyim." The second half of the parak, he says, he's already talking not only about God the shepherd, but who are his sheep? It's the Jewish people. "V'lo yiyu od baz lagoyim." They will no longer be ashamed by the nations of the world. "V'chayat ha'oretz lo tochlein," and the wild beasts of the land will not consume them. The dove and the ardi will not be able to destroy them. The Yashula Datach, and they will live in security, Ve'en Machadid, and nobody will be able to frighten them. The Yaduma, they will know, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeihem, Itam, I am God, there, God with them, Va'atentzoni, you are my sheep. What is it that Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parashat Pinchas? He calls upon God to appoint one, somebody upon the community who will be the leader. The torch has to be passed. Moshe knows that he's going to die. V'lodia adat Hashem, the community of God should not be katzon asher ein lahem roeh, like sheep that don't have a shepherd. I think I promised something at the beginning of this year. I have failed miserably. I wanted really to describe the two sides of David that appear from this story. One is the shepherd, and the other is the lion. The shepherd and the lion. These are the two dimensions of David. The shepherd is, of course, I think we've done our job on describing the dimension of shepherd. B'yetz Hashem, we will describe the dimension of Ari, B'yetz Hashem, next week. By the way, I know, of course, that we have been on chapter 17. How long has it been? Don't say. But there's no doubt about it that whatever we have said in chapter 17, one more thing, whatever we said in chapter 17 is going to stand us in good stead in the chapters to come. One unbelievable medrash. I'm going to let you go. One unbelievable medrash. But I will elaborate on it next week. The medrash says that when David stands before Shaul and speaks, he shows him the garment that he is wearing. Okay? I see your eyes already opening up. We're talking about a garment. From that Shepsalah, he made a coat for himself. The little Shepsalah that he saved, when that Shepsalah was finally slaughtered, he made for himself, I don't know, a sheepskin jacket. And he's wearing that as he stands before Shaul. And so, to point out to him, it really happened, here is my memento of that event. The sweater that I'm wearing is from that Shepsalah. You know what's most fascinating? He didn't make anything out of the skin of the lion or out of the skin of the bear. Because, huh? It could have been what? A bear's rug or a... But what picture do you have in your mind of hunters of old, most probably clothed in bear skins or in lion skins? But that's not what David does. David sees himself as the shepherd. He doesn't see himself as David the lion killer. He most probably, the whole story was so strange to him, and it becomes even stranger now as he says it most probably for the first time. I'm certain he didn't tell it to his father. I'm certain he didn't tell it to his brothers. There's no doubt about it. Nobody knew it. This is the first time he's saying it. And what he identifies with is the saving of the sheep and not the killing of the lion and the bear. To be continued. Okay.